This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Master Connector of Aftermarket Professionals, Carm Capriato here, and welcome to the Town Hall Academy, episode 221, where we ask the question, are you fixing hybrids? Now, if you're waiting for a sign to get into hybrid repairs, then consider this your wake-up call. You can either sit back and let a specialization opportunity pass you by, or take action and embrace hybrid repairs whose cars have been around for about 21 years. Our lineup includes Craig Van Battenberg, Automotive Career Development Center, ACDC. Cameron Lee is here from Ernie Lee's Service Center and Raleigh Hybrids. And also, Eric Carlson's here from Irvine's Auto Repair and Grand Rapid Hybrids. They are here to help guide you through hybrid repairs, marketing, tooling, and training. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Shopware and Shop Marketing Pros, for providing this important episode. Now, here's a tip for you. Sell with clicks, not calls. Showcase your technical expertise and get to yes faster. Now, with Shopware's online interactive repair orders, you will put your value at your customer's fingertips. Book a demo at GetShopware.com. That's GetShopware.com. Is your marketing company sharing the same vanilla social media posts for you that they do for every other shop? Well, that's not how Shop Marketing Pros does business. Now, they believe each shop is unique with its own story. So get your story told. Contact them today. That's ShopMarketingPros.com. Hey, missed any of our live shows at noon during the week? Hey, don't fret. Don't worry. Head to my YouTube channel and watch when you can. Just search Carm Capriato and enjoy. The key talking points for this episode on hybrids resides at remarkableresults.biz/8221. Hey, I'd like to introduce my guests, my friend out there in Worcester. Did I say that right? Worcester?
It doesn't have an R. It's Worcester.
And I've been in that town before, and I was corrected almost a dozen times. Craig Van Battenberg, the Automotive Career Development Center, ACDC, at fixhybrid.com from Worcester, Worcester, Mass. Cameron Lee is with us. Ernie Lee's Service Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing well.
And Eric Carlson, my friend, and him and his wife, Jamie, great people out at Irving's Auto Repair.
Hello, Carm.
Irvine's Auto Repair and Grand Rapids Hybrids, Grand Rapid, Michigan. Here's my thought. Building a 12-volt brain into a high-voltage brain. Craig, I know you're going to talk about that. I love it. Craig and I talked a couple of weeks ago, and he says, Carm, that's all you got to do. You got to move your 12-volt thinking to high-voltage thinking. We got to figure out how to respect that high voltage and decide to work on hybrids. And there's a bunch of people out there that aren't doing it. And so I picked up the phone and called Craig, and I says, why is there a certain percentage of the industry that has not accepted hybrids as a repair specialization? And because EVs are ramping up to the degree that they are, if you're not in hybrids, will EVs be harder to get to? That's another thought that I know, Craig, you have an opinion of that. And hybrids have been around for 21 years. And what do we need to do about getting into that business? So, Craig, I don't want to go into tree hugging and climate change, but I think the point here is, do you have to be to that level to stop and say, hey, this is a profit in a repair opportunity?
I kind of look at it this way. When we had carburetors, I'm an old guy, and you're back in 1972, EPA's been created a couple of years earlier. We heard about this thing called a catalytic converter and electronic ignition and fuel injections coming. And that was all about cleaning up the air. And when we did that, and we did an excellent job of getting these cars so clean, to get rid of carbon monoxide, we added one more oxygen molecule and came up with CO2. When we had hydrocarbons, we broke that in half, made water and CO2. We had nitrates of oxide, we separated that in half, used some of the oxygen to make CO2. So what's really going on? This is another revolution in emissions. And I think if people can understand that concept, that we had to change everything because the air was so bad, we had lung cancer, carbon monoxide, people left their cars running in their garage and they died. Hybrids are a stepping stone, and a great stepping stone, to pure electric cars. So I think if technicians and shop owners can see it as another means of controlling pollution, where then we have the right context for the conversation. And in the process, shops in the 60s and 70s failed and went out of business. They didn't like the government or somebody telling them what to do. But obviously, Cameron and Eric said, okay, well, we'll just learn it. And now we are going to go to pure EVs. The news today from Honda. No more internal combustion after 2040. I made my living on Hondas. I still have Honda motorcycle. I have an old sports car from the 60s in my garage. They're not going to build any internal combustion. If we understand it's about emissions, we've got it. If we debate that or confuse it with something else, we're missing the point.
As a side note, did I just see something about, was it Toyota and hydrogen in an ICE-type engine? Did I see something?
Yeah, well, that's been done a long time ago. You can burn hydrogen in internal combustion, but hydrogen is $12 a gallon.
Got it. Okay.
And you can't find it anywhere. So that's a non-starter.
And all EV, what's the cost per gallon to run that? And I know that's a funny thing. It's not per gallon, but per mile.
One is, in Massachusetts, we just closed down our last coal-fired power plant. So we have nuclear, we have gas, not frack gas, but gas, and we have a ton of solar. We're going to do Cape Wind. That's now official off the Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard. And we buy a lot of hydro from Quebec because Quebec is 100% hydro. So when we clean up the grid, that's the pollution. Electric cars pollute based on where you get electricity. We clean up the grid, then electric cars, other than manufacturing and destroying them and fixing them, are pretty close to zero carbon eventually. That's the end goal. And we're just going to go there, whether we like it or not. But the shops that are still in business that were around, I started mine in 77, embraced all the technology, stayed up with it, did well, very well. And the shops that don't want to will just go out of business like they always have.
Now, Cameron, you, as a family business for many years, a legacy family business, made a decision that, hey, we're going to get into hybrids. And you even marketed yourself separately as Raleigh Hybrids. Can you give us a little bit of an update on utilizing hybrid repairs as a big move in the company?
So, yeah, I had quite a few customers in my customer base who were already driving hybrids. Some EVs, there's a good amount of EVs in our market, but it's not saturated, of course. So I found that it was moving away from just your general maintenance and stuff like that, as far as oil changes, tires, stuff like that with the hybrids. And we need to get more into repair. They were getting older. There were some other shops in the area who had moved to servicing hybrids and repairing them. And I noticed that we were starting to have an outsource, sublet work, send it to other shops. It was kind of a spur of the moment at the AST conference, the last one we had here in Raleigh, that I sat in one of Craig's classes, and it kind of hit me at that point that we needed to get into hybrid repair. I'd seen the void in our company where we could either move forward or either, as Craig said, you just step back and say, I'm not going to touch it. And, you know, it's not so much that your end date's timed out, but eventually, I mean, you know, 2040 is coming. I mean, if you want to be in here for another 50 years like we have for the last 50 years, you've got to be a part of the evolution into hybrids. And so we took that step forward. It's been a great step. It comes with its speed bumps and some very big speed bumps. But it's definitely been well worth it. I would never go back.
Help me understand some of the speed bumps.
When we first started with hybrids and I opened up a separate division of our company, Raleigh Hybrids, of course, it attracts more people because they see just the blatant marketing of Raleigh Hybrids. So you get those cars that, I hate to say it, but your other established hybrid and EV shops don't want to work on. It's those rare unicorns out there. And that's one big thing. If anybody's going to get into it, you're going to have to start saying yes to every single hybrid or EV that comes in the door. I can't help the curb appeal of it. If it's something you feel, well, I'm not going to make a lot of money on this, you've got to get those customers in there, get the good reviews, and go from there. And I mean, me and Craig, we have went back and forth on this.
The unicorns, explain that to me. So there's already shops repairing hybrids, and the ones that they don't want are going to start coming to you because now you're the news source.
Yeah.
And so do you need to be picky? Are you going to take all them on? Help me understand why it would be such a challenge.
I spent almost a month or two ago, I contacted Craig. We had a Kia in the shop, and nobody in the area wanted to touch the Kia. I called a couple of the other shops and that I network with that are very in-depth into hybrids. They're like, I just sent it to the dealer. Well, I knew with this one customer, they were very big on social media and such like that, and I said, well, I have a moment here. I can either send it to the dealer and just never worry about it, or I can fix it and capitalize on that free marketing And that's what I did. Me and Craig stayed on the phone for a couple hours, for a couple days, finally figured out what this problem was. Because, you know, and this leads to one of our subjects that we had talked about, was the void in diagnostic tools. The factory tool, the factory Kia tool, would not touch it. It gave me no information. I actually sent the car to Kia for their diagnostic, and it came back and they said, "We don't know. There's nothing wrong with the car. We can't find a problem." So that's when we come back, and that leads into the tools you need. I mean, you go back to the basics of needing milliohm, megaohm meters, and goes back to testing every connection along the line to find out where the problem is. And it's still a gamble you take. You know, we found the inverter bad, and there was nothing really telling us the inverter was bad. It was just, this is where the road stops, and there's nothing forward. We throw one in it, and it fixed it. It was great. But you are going to hit those speed bumps. And like I say, some of these cars like that, that other shops just send to the dealer, you kind of need to capitalize on, because you get known as that shop that can fix anything then.
All right, Eric, you've been doing this for years now. And can you relate to what Cameron just said?
Well, it's funny, because when he said there was a one that no one wanted to work on, I instantly thought, it's a Kia. And we very quickly, we had one with exactly the same problem. I mean, it was an inverter, and the dealer, it went to the Kia because we weren't confident. I should have done what Cameron did. I should have said, we're going to take this. We're going to stick them in a loaner car. If they're in that loaner car for 2 months, I don't care. We're getting to the bottom of this. But we didn't. And we had to talk with the customer, and they said, well, we'll bring it to the local Kia dealer. And it was there for about a month, and it was with their technical support system, blah, blah, blah. They ended up doing, I forget all the other nonsense they did. And when it was all said and done, after all of that time, it was an inverter. Well, the Kia inverter, they told her, well, I don't know, it was going to be like $5,000 to put an inverter in it. So she called us back and, you know, wanted to know whether we could source a used inverter. I have no issue with used hybrid parts for the most part, depending upon what they are. We have very good success with that stuff. But anyway, it was just funny that he said that inverter, and I thought, that's got to be a Kia.
Craig, do you hear stories like this a lot?
Yeah. So there's a shop that we support in Chicago, and I can't remember the name of it, but a person bought a Fiat 500E out of California, shipped it to Chicago, and it wouldn't ready up. And the Chrysler scan tool is what you need for this, and it's enormously expensive, and the shop didn't have it. But he wanted to fix it. I refused to help him. In this case, I put on my management hat. I said, it's not supposed to be there. There's not a single Fiat dealership that will help you. It's a compliance car sold only in California. And you really got to help your customer here to say, ship it back. Because number one, we're not really up on that particular car. They're horrible cars. I belong to IMPA, International Motor Press Association, out of New York City. So I get lots of chances to drive press cars. I've driven it. I've seen it. But I also have support network all around the world. So when we get calls, like with Cameron and other people that call us often, because I don't know everything, I never will, we have our own shop, which is not open to the public. We now have 14 different cars, but 20 cars there. We just picked up a Gen 3 Prius today, got towed in, that I'm going to own because it's a mess, and we'll learn something. But I will send emails to people around the world and saying, can you help me with this? We also do European tech support, which is a little bizarre. And we're opening up a whole lot of work in Australia. So we're really quite the international company. COVID was great for us, not in terms of income, because we really didn't make any money last year. But we had a chance to do a lot of work at the training center / R&D / shop. We have some brand new equipment from Lucas Newell out of Germany that we're going to use for testing the technicians after they train with us, which happens next week. But really, it's networking, and I think everybody knows this. I'm still on IATN occasionally. I'm now posting again. I took about a 10-year absence for a while to see if I could help a few people, and no one's beat me up too bad, so I might stay on there for a little longer. And sometimes you do have to swap logic, which is what they were talking about. But there's nothing else. An old Gen 1 Prius, the 2001 to 2003, the diagnostics weren't very good. It was the first one that came here. So we keep an inverter that works. Just we'll ship it out to a shop, say, try it. If it runs, give it back to me. Because some of the real old stuff was pretty bad. Now we've got new stuff so much better. The scan tools are better. Their diagnostics are better. Fixing them is better.
But you're talking Toyota.
Toyota's the main one, and we have this class starts next week. In fact, I saw somebody just jumped on and said something that's coming. Everybody knows a Prius. I mean, everybody knows the Prius, so we don't spend much time on Prius. When you come to class, the first 2 days is Honda, and we have a Chevy Volt that right now is actually having some trouble. We own all these cars, which is nice. We also just bought a brand new Kia electric. Talk about Kia. We just bought a $46,000 electric car. I get some money back from the state. So, I mean, we're trying to stay up to date with the latest stuff, but we really want to train technicians that are going to see these cars. So we have a whole lot of older cars, the most popular ones, Fords.
Excellent story. Cameron, I want to ask you about the fact that when you decided that you were going to get into this, you got the training and you decided to say, hey, we're going to have to market this as Raleigh Hybrids. Did you purchase like a Gen 2 Prius and bring it on board, mark it all up with the company, drive it around, put it in the loaner fleet, did social media, Facebook, Google? Give us a little snippet of how you broke in. Eric, you've been doing it for years. So as you hear Cameron, I'd love to, you know, get your opinion of this too.
I actually came over having coffee with Craig one night after class, and we had made a joke. He said, well, I have a couple shops that named their hybrid company after the town they're in. And I looked at him, I said, Raleigh Hybrids will work. And we joked about it. I went back to the room that night and I bought the URL or the rights to the website. And the next one, I said, well, I think I'm going to open it. So on the way back to Raleigh, you know, I called a couple of the salvage yards and I said, that I work with every day. I said, I need a Prius. And they're like, please come get it. I don't want my guys pulling stuff out of it, you know, safety reasons and stuff like that. I said, fine. So in the 2-hour drive from Wilmington, North Carolina, back to Raleigh, I bought two Priuses that were wrecked. And when we came back, I literally just tore them all apart, testing every little thing, figuring out everything. And then I had one of my loyal customers who ran a like Uber or something like that with a Prius. It was a Gen 2. I bought that from him when he was ready to trade out. We did some battery swaps and stuff like that. Just really, I use that as my good car, but R&D car at the same time. If I have a battery I'm playing with, we plug it in that and drive it, see how long it lasts and stuff like that. So we actually have the graphics guy working on wrapping that now. But besides the website, I did call my marketing people and said, I need to add a page on my website. Here's the content I want. But other than just naming the company Raleigh Hybrids, we have not done any marketing. And we're pulling people, and I know a lot of people may not know the geographical setup in North Carolina, but we're pulling people from Greensboro, Winston-Salem. Have one from that just drove from Greenville, North Carolina, which is about an hour and 45 minutes away. I haven't done that much locally on big projects, but people are shipping stuff into us, and it's based on the name.
I loved what you said. I appreciate, Cameron, how you described how you kind of got started. Eric, you've been doing this for years. I mean, when I first interviewed you, you know, it was all about Grand Rapids Hybrids, I believe, and that was years ago.
You must have a great memory, because when you talked to Cameron, what car did you get? The 08 Prius. That was our very first one we bought, was an 08 Prius. My wife and had talked with, when I had met him, but if everybody remembers who Harvey Chan was, unfortunately passed away. But he had told us, he said, buy a Gen 2, just buy it and start working on them. That was his advice. It was really simple. And then, you know, within a week or two, we bought that 08 and we wrapped it. And we now have 7 loaner cars. 6 of them are hybrids. 5 of them are Priuses. And then a Camry hybrid and, you know, Honda Accord. But anyway, that's beside the point. But they're wrapped. We put a Gen 2 battery. I still remember this gentleman. He was from Detroit, which is on the other side of the state. We're on the west side. This is on the east side. And I forget the gentleman's name, but I said, you know, you passed about 20 Toyota dealerships on the way here. And he said, oh, I know. I'm never going. He goes, they had so badly irritated him and didn't respect him or that, whatever. And we put a battery in his car while he waited. And it was really unique to experience, but it really taught me that people will come a long way to get their hybrid serviced if, one, you act, if you know, you not act, you are interested in it, but you come across as an expert. So with the right training, and which I received from Craig and Deb, my wife went with me too. You know, we went out there anyway. It was pretty easy to market it that way.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, learn why starting with hybrid repairs is a smart stepping stone before getting into electric vehicles. Have you ever switched shop management systems and were left high and dry without data migrations? The software world can be a tough one, especially if your software provider isn't supporting you in the way you need them to. My expert recommendation, switch to Shopware today. With best-in-class onboarding, year-round support, and data migration experts at your fingertips, Shopware won't leave you wanting more. Listen, their team is one of the most dedicated in the business when it comes to servicing their clients. So they're going to do what it takes to get you up and running seamlessly. Shopware currently supports data migrations for more than 150 shop management systems, and they're constantly adding more. If you're thinking, ugh, I come from an unsupported SMS, well, rest assured, their team will do the legwork for you to evaluate capabilities and provide a data migration solution. So kick your feet up and visit GetShopware.com. You won't be disappointed. Hey, Carm here. Have you heard this before? If you need something, we're just a phone call away. But then when you need something and you make that phone call, nothing. Well, if you needed something from your marketing company right now, today, could you get their help? Or now that they've got your money, has the personalized attention just faded away? Well, we've all experienced something like this. If you want that to go away, I want to introduce you to my friends over at Shop Marketing Pros. Shop Marketing Pros is a boutique marketing company. Now, what that means is they're small. It also means that they know their clients because they communicate with them regularly. If you're tired of working with a big transactional agency who treats you just like another auto repair shop, well, it's time to talk to the folks over at Shop Marketing Pros. They are a real phone call away. Find them on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. Robert Kenny just said in social media again, when I was at ASTE, last I was surprised about how many scoffed at the thought of a hybrid repair. Way different than us up here in the Northeast. Better get on board. I don't want any personal information here, Eric, but what percentage of your volume has come from hybrid? And then the next part of my question, I see you put EV in your name.
We just started the EV part to try to capitalize on, you know, the website presence. And we haven't really, I think we've had two Nissan Leafs in. So true EVs, mm-hmm. Cameron was mentioning that they don't have a big market saturation of EVs. We have none. I mean, the west side of Michigan, when we first started to work on hybrids, nothing came in the shop. You could drive days and never see a Prius. They just weren't supported in Michigan, with Detroit being right there and all the gas guzzlers and the pickup truck crowd. People looked at me like, this is the dumbest decision you've ever made. I mean, there's just none out there. Well, there really weren't at the time. I mean, but our hope was that we would get one a week to work on. That's really what I was shooting for. And I was disappointed for the first couple of months. We didn't even get that.
How many now are you working on?
It's probably 50% of our business is hybrids. Yeah, we've had days where that's the only thing in the lot, and will be half a dozen Priuses or whatever. I mean, Prius, of course, Toyota's the big dog in the group by far. Other times, though, we won't have any that day. But on average, I would say it's probably up around 50%.
Craig, many come to you for, of course, training, technology, support. But do they ever come to you and say, hey, any ideas on how to market my new hybrid business?
Interestingly enough, my repair shop that I ran for 26 years at the end of a dead-end road. So I went to college in my 30s, never got a degree, but I studied marketing because I started my shop in 77, a long time ago. So I had to learn how to be a promoter, not a terrible promoter, just let people know who we were. We also specialized only in Hondas. So you can take that parallel, bring it to hybrids, and it's the same thing. It's a specialty that people have their Hondas, they want to bring it in. So I'm listening to these stories that these two gentlemen are talking about, and it was the same thing back in the 80s with me growing the company. But yes, yeah, so I also was a management trainer for the Automotive Management Institute for years. Deb and I both did a lot of training. And ACDC started as an emissions training company in Worcester for Worcester County, which is central Massachusetts. The hybrid thing happened kind of by accident because Honda made one. And back in the early 70s, I did a bunch of training with Honda when I was a technician, and they were basically telling me that, you know, internal combustion engines are pretty bad. You should fix it at the source. This is going back to the early 70s. And if you know what a CVCC engine was, compound vortex controlled combustion, if you're really old, they create pollution in the cylinder. We fixed it in the cylinder. So to answer your question, people come to me for management training. We offer it. If you haven't been to our website, it's easier. It's fixev, fixev.com, get you there. But anyone who's taken classes with me gets management tips as they just hit me. I mean, I have a little ADD like most people that fix cars. So I may be talking about inverter and all of a sudden it just dawns on me, oh, I should talk about this or I should talk about that. So we want, if you go to our website, it's very simple. We have a very simple mission. Keep independent shops in business. That's our right on the front page. Keep, and ACDC exists to keep independent shops in business. That's why we're here. And if my future of EVs comes true, and I think it will, we're going to make sure you understand EVs. There's no money in it right now. Agreed. In the Northeast, there's a lot of Gen 1 Leafs that need batteries. So our next class, Matt LaMontagne, who's one of the trainers that works for his father in Lowell, Massachusetts, is coming down because he's just installed a 40 kilowatt hour battery in a 24 kilowatt hour Leaf. And he has the technology. He's done this on his own. He'll come down and we're going to start teaching how to make a Leaf that had 80 miles of range that got down to 40 do 100. And it's all aftermarket stuff.
So we're starting to play with technology, but that's what the capitalism is all about, entrepreneurialism is all about, right? It's like, ooh, let's play with this. The reason I wanted to do this episode was, do you have to be in the hybrid business? And Eric, I'm going to go to you. Do you have to be in the hybrid business in order to get into the EV business? Or can you just say, I'm just going to hang out, wait another 10 years, I'll put up my EV sign. What do you think?
It's obviously the natural transition went from gas to hybrid to EV. So I would suggest getting into the hybrid repair so that you can understand, as Craig says, separate that 12-volt brain from your high-voltage brain and understand how converting DC to AC and back and forth and all of that works, because you're going to need to utilize that on EVs. But I guess someone could learn EVs without ever doing hybrid, but I would think that would be a tough row to hoe. I mean, I would suggest taking it off in small chunks and learn hybrids. There's going to be, as I said, I haven't gotten a call on an EV problem in months. So yeah, you're going to starve to death waiting for them to come in. You might as, you know, get in the hybrids, appreciate the technology and how well they're built and how safe they are. Get properly trained, and there's some tooling you have to purchase, but by and large, the tooling I've had to buy has been very inexpensive in comparison to some of the gas stuff I've had to buy, for crying out loud. So, I mean, nobody thinks about a second about dropping $6,000 in an AC refrigerant machine. I don't have even close to that in tools for working on hybrids. I mean, all of them put together wouldn't add up to that. And I've got some nice stuff.
$5,000?
Tops. I mean, assuming you've got, I would suggest, you know, factory, you know, let's say for Toyota, I wouldn't just, we own some aftermarket scan tools too, but we've got 5OE scan tools. Of course, one of them being Toyota. If you're going to work on the hybrids, I would, you know, Toyota would be the one you'd learn on. We'll get the tech stream. At least have it in your back pocket. You don't need it for every car, but, you know, you'd want that kind of stuff.
Got it. Cameron, it just seems to me that you've made a very smart move. The way we see the manufacturers saying we're going to be all EVs in 2040, 2035, pick a number, that's what Miriam Berry is even saying, right, Craig? She's got a commitment on GM somehow. But you're into hybrids. You're probably looking at the shift in EV saying, I'm so happy I got into hybrids, because hybrid owners, I believe, will become EVs owners, won't they?
Yeah, definitely. And to piggyback on what Craig was just saying, I contacted him a couple, I think it may have been three or four weeks ago. And I had a Nissan Leaf customer. I actually had two of them in one day, which was very weird. But both of them, their batteries had gotten low. They were not getting the right mileage out of them. And I contacted Craig. I was like, they want me to upgrade their battery. You know, I've never heard of this. You know, somebody in the West Coast is doing it, but nobody here is doing it. And it was, I just told him, I said, you got to wait a little bit longer, because the majority of ours here is either Leafs or Teslas. And with Tesla, there's nothing you can do with them. You, I mean, you rotate the tires. That's about the best you can do for that customer and send them down the road. Yeah, definitely. I see a couple of my customers wanting to migrate to the EV just to get away from the fossil fuel aspect. Like Craig said before, and even you, Carm, had asked about, do you have to be this big environmental guru to want to buy a hybrid or want to work on hybrid or anything like that? I say no, but it almost, you evolve into being more environmentally conscious after working on them and after owning them, because I see some of my customers are like, well, I'll just save more on gas mileage because I'm a salesman on the road. Then all of a sudden they come to you and say, how can I do better on gas mileage? What services can I do to my ICE to give better gas mileage? Because I won't save the environment. So it's kind of a natural evolution that I see these people will slowly move to EVs. And like Eric said, it's a trickle effect. And I don't believe you have to jump out there and do EVs right off the bat. I believe you need to be that natural progression of doing the hybrids, because EVs coming, and I believe it's going to dominate, at least in my career.
Thank you. Eric, what are your customers saying to you? They're coming in, they're getting their hybrids fixed. Are they saying, hey, I can't wait to buy that new EV someday? Are they saying that to you?
Not in our neck of the woods. What they really want to do I'll use the Prius because we've serviced so many of those, is they want to do the plug-in Prius, you know, the Prime, you know, they want to do that. It is a natural evolution of, you know, gas to hybrid to EV. And whether people want an EV or not, I mean, they're going to get dragged into it kicking and screaming. There's just not going to be a gasser out there. I mean, I'm 64, so I'll probably be able to, you know, I love the hybrids, and I'm waiting for a nice, solid, well, I'd like that Ford E-Mach, but that's probably another question at this point. But I think we owned a Volt for, I don't know, about 2.5 years, and it was a nice car. I mean, we really got it so that we could better educate ourselves what it was like to run on just true electric for as long as you could. And that thing went like a bat out of hell. I mean, it was that accelerated great. It rode fine. Its maintenance is next to nothing to do. I mean, so I think when people finally get into an EV, whether they really wanted one or not, they're going to quickly appreciate what it has to offer.
Craig, you and I did an episode, I'm going to guess, a couple of years ago. I want to save this for the next segment, but I want you to be thinking about this. Craig said to me, we did this future podcast. It was like the aftermarket in 40 years, and you were prognosticating about EVs and what it's going to take to actually run a shop you could make money once, you know, autonomy and EV were at the height, because Eric just said, there's not much to fix on them. So,
well, I probably should have qualified that first 100,000 miles.
I know, I get that, but still in all, it will be a great challenge for building a great business model of the future. This whole thing, guys, reminds me of the latest iPhone. Right, Eric, you just said that. Just going to wait for the newest model of something to buy, even if it's in a vehicle. All the new toys that are going to be on it. I love where this whole episode has gone. I think we've covered a lot of great ideas. Last week we did the town hall was on specialty, being a specialist, and we had a fleet and we had a mobile diag guy on, and I would actually classify this episode as being a specialist. And, you know, Eric, you did it many years ago, and Cameron, you just recently became a hybrid specialist. And guys, I can't tell you more that this is the stepping stone to EVs. You've got to be established in your marketplace as a hybrid specialist. Don't walk away from it. It's not like 1996 when the OBD2 port came around and said, that won't last. Craig, you've brought up some great points on that. And again, that challenge of what's the, you know, what a business model is going to look like in 20 years. And the only thing I could say, you know how fast 20 years will go? I know, Craig, you're still going to be doing this in 20 years. I know.
I hope so. The health is good so far. So.
And you got all your hair, Craig. So you
I do.
You
know. I'm growing it where I can. I was going to grow a beard and call it crop rotation, see if I get away with that.
You know, one of the things, Craig, that I'm going to go, I'm calling back 2 or 3 years now when we did that episode on, you know, I don't know if it was the next 30 or 40 years ahead you were thinking. And I think one of the things you said was this. I may not quote it perfectly, but in today's environment, you need like 1,000 customers in your database to support a single bay. I think you said that to me. And then you said, when we go to total EV and autonomy and all this 24-hour shop, you're going to need like 10,000 customers per bay. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's close. So if you took a pure electric car, we have this little Kia Niro EV, about 12,000 miles on it. I have to rotate the tires. I got to watch my cabin air filter. But the first fluid is changed at 150,000 miles or 10 years. There's a gearbox lube, a little bit of few pints in a gearbox that doesn't shift, and that has to be changed at 150,000 miles or 10 years. All LED lights. Of course, wheel bearings will. There'll be things that fail. But if you take a look at an average car, and an average, not a great one, not a bad one, just kind of the average, and I'm not going to mention a make because we all have our own ideas of what's good and bad. There's a lot of work to do, especially as they age. So if we did two services, that's now 300,000 miles and 20 years later, you've done two services. Lots of tires, brakes, because they're regenerative, maybe one set of brake pads in 300,000 miles might be the norm. That's where we're heading. Cars are, all cars are getting better. We know that. And I have customers all over the place. And there's a fellow in Barcelona who rebuilds a big, huge electric motors for paper mills and ski resorts. And he had a private class here not too long ago for 3 days. And his English was good enough. We worked on it. And I learned things about electric motors I didn't know, such as sensors that they use on ski lifts to know if the bearing's getting hot or making noise so they can fix that before it fails. It's called big data. That's so cheap. It's made up in Finland. We could put that on every bearing on every car. So, yeah, I have an article. If anybody's interested, if you go to our website, fixev.com, I will post this future article. I think it's already up there. I just want to say two things. If shop owners are listening and they have any interest, I'm busy during the day and so are you. We're scheduling 30-minute evening appointments to do this type of one-on-one, and I'll send you a form. You can analyze your shop and see what equipment you need. This is all free.
Someone just said here in social media about the tools.
It gets expensive when you get to electric cars because you need a level two charging station. We make our own breakout box for checking charging issues. Not a lot of money, but you have a lift fixture, which is expensive. You have to lift 1,500-pound batteries out safely and store them somewhere. So if you're putting an addition on your shop, you need a really, really long bay with a completely flat floor so you can get these batteries out there underneath the car, wheel them out of the way and store them. You're not going to stand it up next to the wall like you did with a hood. So there's going to be some expense there on EVs. Hybrids, I totally agree with Eric when he said, no, it's not a lot of money. You have almost everything you need.
Hey, just to utilize what's going on here in social media, my really good friend, Matt, who's a deep thinker, Craig.
Fanslow.
Yeah, you can appreciate this. I don't think saving the environment is the proper argument, he says. First of all, because it may not actually be true. He says, I think the argument to going to EVs is more to do with the finite amount of fossil fuels we have and the growing expense required to continue to harvest them.
Well, that's an argument that we can't have here because you're really talking about whether climate change is real, and that's a non-starter for me. I don't have that conversation with anyone.
We can't have that here, but I love to throw these kinds of think because we've got deep thinkers in our industry.
We've burned 1 trillion barrels of oil. We have 9 trillion left in the planet. We didn't get out of the Stone Age because we ran out of stones.
All right. Hey, guys, this was great. I want to go around the room. I believe we may have convinced some people sitting on the fence that being a hybrid specialist in their town is an important thing. Cameron Lee, I'll give you your last word.
I believe it was Craig, so I'm going to give him credit for it. I asked him at the class, I said, I'm just trying to see if I need to get into this. And he said, if I'm quoting them correctly, it's not a question of should you get into it. It's why were you not doing it 10 years ago? And I think that is a good argument as to, and, you know, even Eric will probably say, why not 20 years ago? You know, so should we have been doing it since 2000? Yeah. I mean, because we would have a bigger footprint in the market. I think that everybody needs to get on board yesterday. Like I said, there's not a ton of aftermarket training, but people like Craig reach out, a wealth of knowledge, and just dive into it head first. Don't look back.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here, Cameron. It was great to have you, a fresh new voice on the show. Great to have you. Eric, you got any final words for our audience?
I'll piggyback on what Cameron said. You know, yesterday would have been better than today, but tomorrow's worse than today. Get in that thing, but get properly trained, because it's not that I'm worried about somebody not improperly training the car. I'm worried about somebody getting hurt. We learned a bunch of stuff with working with Craig, but first and foremost was safety. And once you understand that and you have the proper safety equipment, which is dirt cheap, all of this stuff is very inexpensive. There's no excuse not to have it, but you have to know how to use it and respect what you're looking at and working on. And once that's done, these things are a piece of cake to work on, and they're profitable. We probably find, I think I gave you that in that, you know, the little show notes thing before we talked, Cameron, Carm, yesterday, that our Prius customers, as a quick example, 240,000 miles on this Gen 2 she just bought, and we just put $5,200 worth into this thing. You know, a battery, a whole tires, the list goes on and on. Those Prius people and hybrid people, for the most part, want to keep those things around forever. And unlike a lot of gassers out there that once they get some rust on them in Michigan at 150,000 miles, they're putting no money into it. None. The hybrid market is almost exactly opposite of that. They embrace repairs to these things to the point where they know it's going to get them another maybe 10 years out of the thing. Get into it. Yeah, there's no reason not to.
Yeah. Craig, I would love you to have the last word, but here's the last word I would also like you to cover, and that is, I talked about it way in the beginning, building a 12-volt brain into a high-voltage brain.
If you're a little kid and you're 3 years old and you're lucky enough to live in a family where they have a car, you know what a car sounds like when it starts up. It goes rrr, rrr, voom. So our 12-volt brain is being built from the time we get into a car. Now we get into a Prius. Or I have a Highlander hybrid, the old one with the key, and you turn the key and it's running, but you don't even know it. And so your 12-volt brain is fooling you a lot, and you got to get that. The other thing I want to mention, I hope I answered that question, is we shut down our classroom because of COVID. We're not going to have a classroom again. And as times change, you got to keep up with the times. We've done a lot of webinars. So our classroom is now a battery lab. We have some brand new equipment. It'll be on display on Tuesday when our classes start. All my training now is online. The boring theory stuff. And you do it at your own pace. We're working with Electude, which is a great program for learning 12-volt stuff. We're not letting people come in anymore that don't understand 12 volts. They're wasting their time. There's a whole new program we put together because we've had 14 months to figure this out. So if you've got a technician that you want to send to us, we'll test them online. We'll get them up to date. It might be 6 months to a year before that we're going to have them out here. And 100% of your time is working on cars. 100% of your time for 7 days is working on cars. All the training's online. We're never going to go back to a classroom again. It's a big waste of your time.
You guys really nailed it and brought it home. I thank you, Craig Van Battenberg, Automotive Career Development Center, ACDC at Fix Hybrid, and I think fixev.com, right?
Either one.
In Worcester, Cameron Lee from Ernie Lee's Service Center, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Eric Carlson from Irvine's in Grand Rapids. Guys, thanks so much. This was great. Appreciate it so much.
Carm, thank you.
Thanks very much, Carm. It was great to do it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.